Well, today we are going to wrap up a little series that we've been in that we started several weeks ago, simply titled Our Core Values. And it's a series that's just been taking a closer look at our core values here at Dallas Foursquare Church. We started off several weeks ago talking about our first core value, which is God's Word. We value God's Word. And just the importance of not just reading God's Word, knowing God's Word, but understanding His Word and really living His Word out in our lives. And then next we talked about just the value of worship. And that worship, again, goes far beyond singing. That our lives should be worship to the Lord. That we should glorify Him in all that we do, right? And delight in doing it. We talked about that when we spoke about worship. And then next we talked about the fact that we value obedience. That we're called to listen to the Lord and obey His commands, right? It's not just enough to hear the Lord. We actually have to respond and obey Him and walk in obedience. And so we value obedience. Next, we talked about the fact that we value people. And that we're called to love all people. Here at Dallas Foursquare Church, all are welcome. All are loved because everybody is valued. That's what Jesus did. That's what we want to do. And next, we talked about the fact that we value authenticity, which really has two aspects. First is the reality that we want to be people who are living authentic lives for Christ. If we say that we're a Christian, we don't just want to talk the talk. We want to walk the walk. We want to live those authentic lives. And then secondly, we want to be people, though, who are real about the fact that we're not perfect. We don't have it all together. We don't want to walk around wearing these masks, right? Acting like we're something that we're really not, or pretending that everything's okay when it really isn't, right? How are you doing today? Fine. We're not a big fan of the F word here at Dallas Foursquare Church, okay? And by F word, I mean fine, right? How are we doing? We want to know. We want to come alongside you. If you're not doing well, we want to just encourage you and love on you. If you're doing great, we want to celebrate with you. And so we believe that we want to be people who walk in true authenticity because true authenticity brings healing to our lives, right? When we're real and authentic about our struggles, it helps us heal and grow and become who God's called us to be. And then last week, we talked about the fact that we value simplicity. And I shared that simplicity is not an excuse for laziness. When I first started the church, a lot of people were like, oh, that just sounds like laziness, right? But simplicity at its core is really about maximizing our effectiveness for the Lord. It's about seeking God's will, His direction for our lives, so that we know what to say yes to and what to say no to. Because the problem is many of us don't have simplified lives because we're afraid to say no. We say yes to everything and then we get bogged down and tired and just worn out. And so simplicity is learning what to say yes to and what to say no to. There are a lot of good things out there, right? But what is it that God's calling us to do? Now, again, if you've missed any of these messages, I would encourage you to go to watch them, to listen to them online, especially if you call Dallas Foursquare Church your home church, because we believe it's important that if this is your church, that you understand these values, that you understand what they mean to us as a church and to us as individuals. Now, today we're going to wrap up this series as we talk about our seventh core value. And if you've been with us for any part of this series, you know that when we started this church 11 years ago, we had six core values. But as I've mentioned each week throughout this series, that it was at one of our staff meetings last year that Stacy, my wife, made the comment that, you know, we really have seven core values. And she talked about the fact that generosity is something that we've valued from day one. We just hadn't identified it as one of our core values. And as she shared her thoughts on this, I realized she is right. Because we have always been about generosity here at Dallas Four Square Church. Our letterhead actually confirms this, and I know I've said this each week, but if you look at our letterhead that we've had from the beginning, at the very bottom, it has the words, love generously, live generously, give generously. And so when we kicked off this series several weeks ago, we officially made generosity one of our core values. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, if you were here with us over the years, you know we were in a series through the Bible. And when we were back in 1 and 2 Corinthians, we talked about the fact that 1 and 2 Corinthians were letters written by the Apostle Paul. And in chapter 8 here, Paul is talking to the church in Corinth about generosity. And I think it's a great section of Scripture for us to learn some things about our seventh core value, generosity. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me. We're going to read 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 15. This is what it says. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now, finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much. And the one who gathered little did not have too little. And we're going to stop there this morning. So Paul here is addressing the Corinthians on the subject of giving. And to give you a little background, Paul had been asking many of the Gentile churches to take an offering for the saints back in Jerusalem. And it's because the Jerusalem church was very poor. And that's because many of the people in that church were actually foreigners. Many of them had been visiting during the time of the feasts, and it was at that time that they had become followers of Jesus. And the problem for them was this. Once they chose to identify with Christ, they lost their jobs and were actually pushed out of their families. And so the church there in Jerusalem was experiencing great poverty. And this was true throughout Jerusalem, because if you weren't a traditional Jew, you were looked down upon. And it was hard to find work. It was hard to make it in that area. And so Paul was collecting money from all the Gentile churches including the church here in Corinth, to help those churches and followers in Jerusalem that were struggling to get by. And we know from these scriptures that we read this morning that the church there in Corinth had already began to give. As a matter of fact, verse 10 tells us that they were the first to give. But Paul points out in the next verse that they're not done giving, that it's time for them to finish what they started. And to encourage them in this idea of generosity, he uses the church of Macedonia here as kind of an inspiring example for them on this idea of generosity. And so I want to do the same for us this morning. I want to look at the generosity that Paul talks about of the churches in Macedonia and really use it to encourage us to continue to be a people who value generosity. Now, as I was reading through this section of Scripture about the Church of Macedonia, there were a few main ideas that stood out to me about their generosity. And so I want to look at those four things this morning. The first one is this. It was an unexpected generosity. This is what I mean. In verse 2, it says, "In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." You see, these followers of Jesus in Macedonia, they were in the midst of some severe trials. Now, we don't know what those trials were. Maybe it was loss. Maybe it was persecution. The Scripture doesn't actually tell us what the trials were, but they were experiencing extreme poverty. And many of them were probably just trying to survive themselves. And here's the thing, you don't usually see generosity come from people who don't really have a lot to give. But God's grace had filled their hearts, and it says that their overflowing joy welled up in rich generosity. These deeply poor and troubled people gave generously and with a heart of joy. It's something that we wouldn't consider, and it's something that we consider unexpected, right? That's what God's grace can do. When we seek the Lord, when we allow Him to guide us, it allows His grace to pour through us. And that giving, that unexpected giving, can even happen in our own lives. In 2014, Forbes magazine published an article on America's giving habits. And this article talked about research done by the Chronicle of Philanthropy on how Americans' giving habits changed from 2006 to 2012. Now, if you aren't familiar with those specific years, they were considered a time of recession, a difficult time for many. And so this article looked at how this recession, this difficult time financially, affected people and how they give, right? And so in this article, it said that those who made $200,000 a year, you know, around my salary, just kidding, those that made $200,000 a year, right? That's a lot of money. $200,000 a year decreased their giving during those years by 4.5%. But listen to this. So those are people that made $200,000 a year. Those who made just $25,000 or less a year increased their giving by 16.6%. Now, that's some crazy statistics, right? When you kind of look at that, right, you would think it would be the opposite. You'd think the people that had all the money would maybe give more, and the people that didn't have money would give less. But Stacy Palmer, the editor of the Chronicle of Philanthropy, explained that lower and middle income people are often more sensitive to the needs of other people and recognize that these years had been extremely hard for them and for others. And so because of that, they ended up giving more. Plus, she also said that religious faith was driving some of that generosity. And I believe that's what God's grace does. God's grace makes the most unexpected people demonstrate generosity. You see, if we come from the mindset that generosity is only for the wealthy, then we're missing out on a value that's important, I believe, to the Lord. We are called to be people who give regardless of how wealthy or poor we might be. And if we think, a lot of us, we have this mindset that someday, well, when I have more to give, then I'll be generous. And if that's the way we think, I think a lot of times we're just fooling ourselves. Because if we aren't learning to be generous with the little, then we won't be generous with much. Many who struggle with the idea of generosity continue to think, well, I just need a little bit more. Then I need just a little bit more, right? Just a little bit more. But I've learned that sometimes if we want to be generous, we have to step out in faith. We have to take that leap of faith and trust that God is our provider. We've done that here at Dallas Foursquare Church. I've shared this before. But 3 months before we planted this church, I was at our district conference, which was in Beaverton, Oregon. And at that conference, we had our missionaries from Alaska share about the mission that they had just launched 6 months prior. And as I sat there listening to them tell their story, their heart for Alaska and how they were going to impact the community that they were there to impact, I felt like the Lord was telling me that we were supposed to support them as a church. Now, you have to understand, we hadn't planted the church yet. We were still 3 months from planting the church. We didn't have any kind of income. And I had no idea if we would have any income. I had no idea if people would show up the first week and be like, that pastor's an idiot and I'm leaving, right? I mean, we had no idea what was going to happen here when we planted this church. But I felt like God was telling me we were supposed to support these missionaries. And I knew we had to be obedient. So we took a leap of faith. I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to commit to $25 a month. I didn't know if we'd have it. I didn't know where it would come from. I figured if I had to, I'd go collect bottles and take them back to get the $25 to help support these missionaries. But thankfully, I never had to collect bottles. And God just faithfully enabled us, even through the struggles at the beginning of planting the church, to give $25 a month. And we did that. For the first 2 years as a church, we gave $25 a month. 2 years later, we're at a district conference once again, and our Alaska missionaries get up and they share their desire to purchase a boat that will enable them to reach farther into Alaska, to reach more people, and to do some missionary work that would bless people there in the community. And so they asked the churches at the conference to pray about giving towards them purchasing these boats that were going to be somewhere between $12,000 and $20,000. And so this time I came back and I brought it before the council and we prayed about it and we felt like we were supposed to take whatever came in that next Sunday, that we were going to take whatever came in and then we were going to match it and send off to Alaska. And so keep in mind that would usually mean somewhere between $300 and $2,500, all right? And that's with the match, that we'd be somewhere between like $150 to $1,500 that would come in or somewhere in there that we would match and be able to send off. But that week, for some reason in our offering, $3,300 came in. And so if we matched that amount, like we said we were going to, that would mean we would be sending them a check for $6,600, almost the entire amount of our monthly income. And so I remember in the council meeting, you know, the question came up, can we really afford to give that much money to the missionaries in Alaska? But the fact is, I just said, you know, we've prayed about this. And so we made the decision that we were going to match whatever came in, right? We prayed about it. And so we all knew, it was hard, but we all knew that we needed to be obedient and do what the Lord had told us to do. And so we sent a check to Alaska for $6,600, which is a whole nother miracle. If you find out, they thought the boat thing was dead because they hadn't got any money. When we sent that, it just opened up some doors. And anyways, I won't go into that. But we sent a check for $6,600. And the crazy thing, that month, we had $7,000 more than we normally have in tithes and offerings. We sought to be generous, and God said, okay, here, let me just take care of all your other bills and things that need to be taken care of. And the crazy thing is, ever since that weekend, we have continued to show unexpected generosity, and God has continued to bless us. We started this church with one missionary giving $25 a month. Now, 11 years later, sorry, I get emotional when I think about this. We're averaging $500 a month for three different missionaries, from $2,500 to $1,500 a month that goes out. Small church here in Dallas getting to bless and care for people. God's grace makes the most of what people would call unexpected generosity. And we're encouraged here by Macedonia's unexpected generosity. And we seek to be people who continue to give in that way, right? Even when it's unexpected. Next thing we can learn from Macedonia about their generosity is this. It was a sacrificial generosity. Verse 3 says, "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability they gave." So they went above and beyond what they knew they were even capable of. It was sacrificial giving. You see, it's easy to give out of your wealth, right? Oh, I've got money sitting over here. I can give out of that. But it's an entirely different thing to give out of your poverty. To say, I'm going to go above and beyond what I have. In Luke 21, we see a great example of this with the widow, right? Who put her last two pennies into the offering. If you are familiar with the story, Jesus and some of his disciples are sitting there in the temple, and they see many people come up and put money in the offering box. And some put what would have been considered large amounts of money. But listen to what Jesus says in Luke 21:34 about this widow and what she put in. He says this, "Truly I tell you," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, in all she had to live on." This widow, she put everything she had to live on into the offering. And so the question is, how could she survive after giving everything? I'm guessing she knew that God was her provider. And I can guarantee you that God provided for that woman. I know that. I know that God provided for her. I believe sacrificial generosity comes from knowing that God is our provider. Do we believe that? Do we believe that God is our provider? Stacy and I have learned this in ministry firsthand. My junior year of high school at a youth retreat, I felt called to be a youth pastor. You know, that's all I ever wanted to be. Then God called me to senior pastor, and I'm here. But no, I love it. I love that he called me to this. But from that day, it was my desire to someday go into full-time ministry and to be a youth pastor, loving on youth. Now, my first 6 years in ministry were mostly volunteer. I had to work and just volunteer in ministry. And then a little bit of part-time pay those last 2 years of those first six. But in 2002, Stacy and I felt like the Lord was calling us to move to Newburgh and to be the youth/associate pastors for my sister and brother-in-law at their church, Newburgh Foursquare Church. And in the midst of our conversation with the church leadership, we were excited, going to move to Newburgh and work at the church. And my wife, you know, like we were thinking maybe she could drive over the hill, work at Nike or something like that. But in the midst of our conversations, things changed a little for Stacy and I when we found out she was pregnant with Toby, who is now 20. That was 20 years ago. And so after telling my brother-in-law, yeah, my wife's pregnant, and I know we really don't want her to work. I'm not sure what this is going to look like. He said, hey, let's meet, and I'll tell you what the council said that they could afford to pay you. And then he said something along these lines, and then you can laugh in my face and go back home, is what he said. And so I'm on my way to meet him. And after he said that, I'm like, oh, great. What are they going to offer me? And I'm like, can I afford to live off what they offer me? And so on my way there, I'm driving there and I'm just praying, Lord, how much is enough? How much is too little? What do I say yes to? What do I say no to? And all these thoughts were going through my head, and I was just praying and seeking the Lord. And all I heard the Lord say to me is this: I'm your provider. And when he said those words, I was like, okay, Lord, I just felt like the Lord was saying, you're supposed to say yes, regardless, because I'm your provider. And I said yes. Now, what they offered me was less than either Stacy and I were making individually at the time. But I knew in my heart what God said. And I knew that we needed to be obedient, that we needed to step out in faith. And so we went. We made the move to Newburg. And in that process, it took 6 months for our house back in Eugene to sell. So not only had we gone from two incomes to one income, we went from one house payment to a house payment and a rent payment. And in that time, Stacy and I, we both felt, because we were like, how are we going to tithe and give to the church when we don't even have enough to pay our bills? But we felt like, nope, first and foremost, the first thing goes to the Lord. And you want to know the crazy thing? God provided. We'd get anonymous checks in the mail. People would stop by and bring us groceries. The church, even after a period of time when our house hadn't sold, decided to just take an offering. And the offering that came in covered our house payment in Eugene and our rent in Newburg for 4 or 5 of those months. God was our provider. And we saw the same thing when we then later had to make that move from Newburg to Dallas to plant a church. Now the question is, was it easy? No. Did we have to make sacrifices? Yes, we absolutely had to make sacrifices. But I can tell you that neither I or any of my family went without food, clothing, or shelter, because God, through it all, was our provider. And we knew that. We know that because we've seen it firsthand in our lives. And the Church of Macedonia, they saw it as well. And their sacrificial generosity, I think, should be an encouragement to all of us. Amen? And so we see their example of unexpected generosity, their example of sacrificial generosity. And third, we see that it was a self-initiated generosity. In other words, they weren't coaxed or guilted into giving. They gave entirely on their own. In verse 4, it says, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. Their generosity, it was self-initiated, as they urgently pleaded for the privilege to share what they had with others who didn't have. I wonder how differently our world would be if we all operated with this kind of generosity. If we all look for those opportunities to give and to help others willingly, it really comes down to a matter of the heart. It's that idea of putting others first. Because the truth is, God doesn't need our money. He doesn't. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our gifts. He doesn't need our talents. He could provide for people out of thin air if he wanted to. He could take care of every need that needs to be taken care of. But instead, God chooses to use us. And his desire is that we would learn to love generously, live generously, and give generously, just like he does. He's only asking us to live like he lived. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says this, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That phrase, give what you decided, that's self-initiated generosity. You know, one of the most common complaints about churches is that they're always asking for money. And I know that this can be true of many churches out there. I've seen it and I've heard stories of pastors and churches who have begged and even manipulated people to give. But I hope that people never feel that way here at Dallas Four Square Church. That is not our desire. As a matter of fact, as I mentioned before, since COVID, we don't pass offering plates. We have a box in the back. And when we came back, and now that COVID's gone, I mean, we could pass plates, but we decided that we're not going to pass plates anymore. The box is back there. And the reason, as I was praying about it, is that we don't want to take people's money. I think sometimes that plate comes and they're like, people are watching me. Oh, shoot, what do I have? I better put some money in, right? We don't want to take people's money. We want people to want to give generously. We want people to give from their heart, a self-initiated generosity. And so it's back there. And so you can give if you want to give. You don't have to give if you don't want to give. We want it to be self-initiated generosity. And now, being a church, I don't shy away from talking about giving, because we know that God has called us to be people who give. And that's just not just financially, but in every aspect, in every way. We are called to give. And so from day one, we have been a church that has been self-initiated in generosity. And I encourage all of us that that should be our heart. We all have to decide on our own what we're called to give, how we're called to give, who we're called to give to. And here's the thing. As a pastor, I don't stress about it, because I know that God is our provider. Even times where we've been lean and it's like, ooh, where are we going here? It's like, you know what? God's our provider. It is what it is. We trust in Him. And from day one, He has faithfully provided. And so I don't stand up here. I don't beg people to give. Instead, I simply share what we've learned and what we do our best to demonstrate as a church, and allow people to learn from that. And it's been amazing to see how many of you have given so faithfully and have allowed us to be the generous church that God has called us to be. As a matter of fact, I pulled up, if you're here usually, we talk about giving once a year usually. This year you get it twice because we're talking about generosity. But if you were here at the end of 2022, we do a page that you can normally have. I normally have them back there for the first month or two of kind of what came in from that past year and what we did with it. And I pulled it back up because I just wanted to share, so you kind of understand. Those that are new are like, oh yeah, he can talk the talk, but does he walk the walk? Well, here's our church, Dallas Four Square Church. From what came in this year, we give 10% back to our denomination. Like the way people give to a church, a lot of times it's 10%. We give back to our denomination, which is used in different ways to help the denomination run, to provide ministry and things throughout our denomination. And so we gave over $20,000, almost $21,000 back to our denomination this year. We gave $24,000 to missions. That's to our Alaska, India, and UK missionaries, and then some others as well. Our community giving, we gave $13,000 back to our community to bless our community in different ways this year. Benevolence, we gave almost $4,500 to people who were struggling, couldn't pay their electric bill or needed some help with rent or whatever it may be. We had almost $4,500. And then we give away $1,200 to our quilting group, which is so cool. They take that $1,200 and with the stuff that they make and give away and the stuff they do at auctions, it's close to $15,000 of stuff that they donate through that they took that $1,200 and multiplied it. And so as a church, we gave almost $64,000 back to our community, back to missions, back to people that came in, which is 26.7%. And my goal in this next couple of years is to be at least 30%, But my goal before I retire at this church is that 50% of what comes in is going back and blessing people and being generous and making a difference. And so I just say it's faithful giving from you that has allowed us to be the church that God has called us to be. Those are numbers because of people that are faithfully giving and allowing us to do what God has called us to do. And so this section is just a great reminder that we need to continue to be people who are self-initiated in our generosity. And then the last part that I want to encourage you with generosity that we see from the Church of Macedonia here is that it was a wholehearted generosity. Meaning it wasn't just money. I mean, a lot of times when we talk about generosity, we're talking about money. But it was they were giving in every aspect and every way of their talents, their gifts, everything that they were giving of themselves. In verse 5, Paul says, "And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord." They exceeded expectations by giving more than just money, right? They gave themselves, their hearts, their lives in generosity. Some of you may remember a story I once shared, I don't know, it was a year or two ago, of a little boy who entered the back of a church one day because it was freezing outside. He just wanted to get warm, and so he entered the back of a church one day to get out of the cold. And he was there in the church, and he heard the story of Jesus. And at the end, they passed the offering plates. The little boy didn't have any money. He didn't have anything. He was cold. He was hungry. And as the plate came, he just stared at it. And he was kind of broken because he wanted to give. He heard the story of Jesus and all that Jesus gave, and he wanted to give. And suddenly he climbed in to the offering plate because he sought to give himself to Jesus. And it's a cute, wonderful story. But the truth is, this is what God really wants of all of us, right? He wants our hearts. He wants our lives. He wants us to give all that we are to Him, to be generous with our lives. Paul actually tells the Corinthians this later when he talks about visiting them again. In 2 Corinthians 12:14, he says, "Now I am ready to visit you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you, because what I want is not your possessions, but you." And what God wants is not our money. It's not our possessions. God wants us. He wants us to be generous with our lives, with our love, with the way we care for others. Our church, yeah, we operate off finances and we need finances, but we don't want your money. We don't want your possessions. What we really want is people with a heart to love Jesus, to serve Jesus, to give their life to Jesus. We want you to help us be the church that God has called us to be. A church that isn't focused on ourselves, but a church that is focused on loving God and loving people to extend His kingdom. We want people who are learning to love generously, live generously, and give generously. Why? Because that's what Jesus does for all of us, right? And we're simply seeking to be more and more like Jesus. We value generosity here at Dallas Foursquare Church because Jesus is a God of generosity. And in every aspect, in every way, not just financially, but in every aspect, in every way, and we are just seeking to learn to be more like Him. Amen. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You for these core values that You've given us as a church. And Lord, we want to learn to walk in these core values. We want these core values to be important to us so that we can live them out and live the lives that You have called us to live. And Lord, generosity, it's one of those things that we can hear it in church and we can think about how the church always wants money. You know that's not our heart here at Dallas Foursquare Church, Lord. Our heart is to teach us to be people who love You, who seek You, who are obedient and live the life that You've called us to live. And sometimes You're going to ask us to give, whether that's financially or just giving of our lives, Lord, to serve You, to honor You. We just want to help people grow in their relationship with You. We want to help people grow in becoming the men and women of God that You've called them to be, who seek You, to know Your word, and to live it out, who worship you, who glorify you in all that we do and delight in it, Lord, who walk in obedience, who value people, who live authentic lives, who know the importance of simplicity in today's world, to know what to say yes to, what to say no to, and people who are generous in every aspect and in every way, Lord. That's who you've called us to be here at this church, and we really want to seek to be the church that you've called us to be, Lord. And so thank you for these things that you've been challenging us in. Again, I pray that you help us to hear what it is that you want each of us as individuals to hear from this message. What are you challenging us in this morning, Lord? What can we do better as followers of Christ? How can we be more generous? What does that look like to us as individuals, Lord? We want to listen to you. We want to be obedient to you and live the life that you've called us to live. We thank you for these things. We give them all to you. We pray your blessing upon today as we go from here. We pray that you bless fathers as we celebrate Father's Day. And for those, Lord, that don't have good experiences of fathers or Father's Day, that, Lord, you would remind them that you are the perfect Father who loves them and cares deeply for them and desires to see them experience your goodness in this world. And so we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, we give today to you in Jesus' name. Amen.